are about to hear a life-changing message preached at the Qadesh Family Church in Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. In this Sunday's message, our very own Sister Arielle continues the teachings on evangelism. If you are on this earth as a Christian, it is your duty to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. God has sent you to invite people to the feast of the Lord, according to the parable in Luke 14. Even though millions of people have already been saved, there's still plenty of room in the house of the Lord. Be persistent, persuade people, do all that you need to do with the power that you have in Jesus Christ. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this anointed word.
On you, I've got this feeling down deep in my heart since I found you, and now I'm on my way. Jesus, deep in sin, was falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways, but now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Oh, I found a new life. Oh, oh. Stuck on you, I found my place, and this is where I'm gonna stay. Now I'm on my way. Oh, Jesus, this is where I found the peace and love and joy in the Holy Ghost. And now I'm on my way. Oh, I have found a new life. Oh, oh. Mm-hmm. Almighty God, I found a new life. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save a sinner like me. Oh, I was lost in sin and shame, but he gave his life to save me. Found my place, and this is where I'm gonna stay. Now I'm on my way. Oh, Jesus, this is where I found the peace and joy and love in the Holy Ghost. Now I'm on my way. I have found a new life. Have you found a new life? If you found a new life, say, I found a new life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to ever have to leave you. I don't want to ever have to lose my calling. I love the brethren, I love my pastor, I love the church. Lord, I'm gonna stick with you. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, I'm gonna be with you. Now I'm stuck on you. It's been the feeling down deep in my heart since I found. Now I'm on my way. Oh, Jesus, deep in sin, I was falling deeper and deeper into my sinful ways. but now I'm on my way. Yo, I have found a new life. Oh, thank God. Oh, I found a new life. Oh.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. What a blessing. Amen. Welcome again. And please, we still have time to invite. So call a friend, call a family member. Okay. So don't leave anybody behind. We are here. We're going to be blessed by a powerful word and administration today. So we don't want to leave anyone else behind. Why? Okay. And we are all here enjoying. Amen. So call someone, grab your notes. Okay. Grab something to write with, have your communion ready, all right? And you're going to be blessed as we are here as well, amen? So I want us to get ready for the word as we prepare our hearts, amen? This is the most important part of your Sunday today, what we waited for all week by the grace of God, amen? Yes. And we have special, special blessing. I'm telling you, from our very own in-house mother, our lioness, amen? Amen, hallelujah. So I want us to rise to our feet, put your hands together, put your hearts in order, and let's give a very warm welcome to our very own Sister Ariel. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Amen.
Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. Our hearts are open. We pray for the spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, that we will not go out of here having heard your word going through one ear and coming out the other, but we will go out of here with power from your Holy Spirit and from your word, power to obey your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please take your seats. Well, welcome to church one more time. Those of you on Zoom, welcome, welcome. This is the house of the Lord. And when we come to the house of the Lord, we should prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. This whole month, well, first of all, I would like to bring you greetings from our pastor, Reverend Lindsay. He's away doing some more work for God. Amen. And we should consider ourselves blessed that we have a pastor who has so many opportunities to preach. It shows that he's very anointed. Amen. And there are some conferences going on in all parts of the world and some in Ghana, which Bishop has asked the lay presidents. You know, many pastors in our church are lay. Lay means you're a volunteer pastor. You're not paid by the church. So Reverend Lindsay is a volunteer pastor, though you wouldn't believe it if you knew. And he's not paid by the church. But the lay presidents are having certain conferences in many parts of the world. And so he has also going to do his part as the chairman, you know, as the volunteer in chief. Amen. And that's why he cannot be here with us. He's not going to be here, but he's with us in spirit. And I'm willing to bet he's online, actually. Hallelujah. Amen. So I have to do his work for him for a little bit. But I believe that God is gracious. It's not about me. It's not about them. It's the word of God. Amen. There's a certain food we eat in Ghana. It's called wachi. How many of you have heard about it? It's rice and black-eyed peas. Yes, rice and beans, basically. But, you know, they do things to it. It gives it a very nice, rich color. And then we eat it with all kinds of nice wele and all that, pepper. It's really nice. Now, you know, when I was growing up, when you're going to buy wachi, you buy wachi in the leaf. There's this particular leaf that it comes in, you know. Yes. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the only way to eat wachi. You understand? There's something about eating wachi in the leaf which makes it better. You understand what I'm saying? But the leaf is not much to look at. It's a very humble leaf, but it all adds to it. Now, you could eat wache in Dresden, China, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Give it a nice name, you know, but it's not the same. So personally, I like the more humble leaf to eat my wache. It gives it something. And why am I saying all of this? Because, I mean, the word is the wachi, and I am the leaf today, okay? All right? So, not much to write home about, but it's about the thing inside the leaf. You know what I'm saying? Yes, yes. That's what matters. That's what matters. Amen. So, this whole month and for some time, we've been talking about evangelism, and I hope it hasn't become just something we hear and say amen and go back, but we don't really take it to heart. Because when Jesus was leaving this earth, the last thing he said to his disciples was, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That's what most theologians have come to call the Great Commission. Jesus didn't say, behold, I give you the Great Commission. He just said, go. Amen. He just said, go. Most of us have been content to stay and expect the people to come. But that's not the way it works. We are supposed to go and tell people about salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what evangelism is. Telling people about salvation through Jesus Christ. Because there is a hell. And we are all default candidates for hell. That means that when we are born, by default, we are on the road to hell. Recently, I saw an Instagram video or something on TikTok, and somebody was being asked a question. I like the way he answered the question, because a lot of people use this argument to reject the gospel. Why would a good God allow people to go to hell? Why would a good God allow people to go to hell? You don't know your facts. That's why. You were on your way to hell, and a good God came to save you. You were already on your way to hell. As soon as you stepped on this earth, you were on your way to hell. And a good God, in his love and his mercy, sent Jesus to pay the price so that you'll be deflected from your road and go to heaven. So if you go to hell, don't blame Jesus. If you go to hell, don't blame God. Don't sit down in your ignorance and say that it is God who sends people to hell. He would much rather you don't go to hell. The Bible says that his desire is that all men will be saved. That's the reason why he's extending the time of Jesus' coming. It's like Jesus has been coming for a long time, but it's like just in case there's one more soul who could be saved. That's God's heart. That's God's attitude. He wants people to be saved. But we are the ones to tell it. We are the ones to tell them. Christianity has become about dressing up and coming to church, singing praises and feeling happy, getting blessings from God. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Some of our songs are just about blessing. Your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough is coming. Your breakthrough. That's it. That's not about Christianity. Christianity is not just about what God is about to. God is about to pour out a blessing. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive the blessing? Can you stand to be blessed? Hey, can you stand to evangelize, please? Can you stand to tell somebody about Jesus, please? Hallelujah. You know, there's a book that Bishop Dagger has written, among the many books that he has written. And the book is called Tell Them. Tell Them. Tell Them. There's a song by Andrew Crouch, which I'm sure he borrowed that title from that book. It says, tell them, even if they don't believe it, just tell them, even if they don't receive it, tell them for me. Please tell them for me. Tell them that I love them. And I came to set them free. It's our job to tell them, not just to be happy that we are saved, we are good, and we are not telling anybody. So these messages on evangelism are supposed to shake us out of our apathy. Shake us. I don't care if you are on this earth, you are part of the workforce. Young or old, there are people your age who need to be saved. My father, you know, he never went to church when I was a young person. My parents attended the Catholic Church. It's a bit complicated, but I'll tell you about it. Because my mother was born a Presbyterian. Because all my relatives on my mother's side are Presbyterians, and many of them were ministers. My grandfather was a Presbyterian minister. My great-grandfather was a Presbyterian minister. And many uncles and great-granduncles were Presbyterians. So I was born into a Presbyterian church. And my grandmother, whose father was the Presbyterian minister and even the moderator of the Presbyterian church in Ghana, she married a Presbyterian minister. And I lived in their house. So I was a Presbyterian, you understand? And our house was next door to the church. All I had to do to go to church was open the side gates, and I was in church, you know. So naturally, my mother was a Presbyterian. Then she married my father, who was a Catholic, but he was not even originally a Catholic. He was born into a Methodist household, but he went to a Catholic school. And so because of the Catholic school, he became a Catholic. No. So now they got together, they got married, and then we, the children, we went to Baptist. And I'll tell you why. Because my mother went to the Catholic Church, and the children's church at that time was not well developed. It was still, you know, being developed, and she wanted her children to hear the word. So she found this Baptist church where they were teaching the word to the children. That's why we need to teach the word to the children. You understand? So she would drop us, she would take her car, drop us in the Baptist church to hear the word, then go to her church. And I got saved in the Baptist church at the age of about 9 years old. So it doesn't really matter whether it's Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, or Baptist. If you get saved through the blood of Jesus, that's what matters. There's something called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our God. If you believe in that, if you believe in it for real, not just reciting it, listen to the words of that Apostles' Creed. It's supposed to be a summary of our faith. Listen to the words. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord? Do you? Do you believe that he was conceived by the Virgin Mary? Do you believe that he died for us? And do you believe he died and was resurrected as the Son of? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? A lot of people who say the Apostles' Creed, if you speak tongues in their church, they will throw you out. They will throw you out. They will throw you out if you speak tongues in their church, or if you manifest any gifts of the Spirit, you will be thrown out. So we are saying it. So I'm saying it to say that it doesn't matter what denomination. It doesn't matter so long as you believe for real in Jesus as the Savior of the world, as the one whose blood has saved you. When my mother died, she was a Catholic, but I'm almost 100% sure that she was born again, saved. Amen. But my father, on the other hand, would not go to church. You know, because my mother converted to Catholicism for my father's sake, so that he would come to church, because he was not coming to church. She was a born-again Christian, but she used to attend the Catholic church with my father, hoping that that would make my father come to church, but it didn't work for a while. You know, I remember days when she would ask my father, "Won't you come to church with us?" "No, I've gone to enough church for my lifetime." He said, in the Catholic school, we went to mass morning, afternoon, and evening for the whole time that I was in school. That's enough for the rest of my life. I don't want to go again. So he refused to go to church. And he was, there were days when, and I know, you know, some, forgive me, African men, when you tell them what to do, then that's the thing they will not do. That's the thing they will not do. Yes. So if you want to tell them what to do, you should tell them the reverse. you are like, he will say, "Don't you think we should do?" I don't know. Then we'll do it. But that's what you want, you know. Yeah, it's a trick. It works. Anyway. But my father could get up in the morning with the intention, maybe somebody, the Holy Spirit has spoken to him that today he should go to church. So he's woken up with the intention of going to church, but he hasn't told my mother. So he got up, started, you know, taking a shower, getting dressed and everything. Then my mother, poor her, would go and say, "Oh, won't you come to church with us today?" That's it. He would just take off his clothes and sit down and not go to church. He will not go to church. So I was praying for my father's salvation. And I was praying. And
I hope there's enough tonight, man.
I was there when you were born. Who are you to come and tell me about Jesus Christ? Are you serious? I know you from when you were a muley-puley baby. You are coming to tell me about Jesus Christ. So I realized that it would not work. But I heard a message by Bishop. He said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest." Is it my phone or is it somebody else's phone making that noise? Please deal with it. It's disturbing me. So, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Find that verse for me. I believe it's in Luke. "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into the harvest." So I began to pray that prayer. And what that meant is that there's a certain laborer and a certain Christian who will hear, who my father will listen to. Not me. Who am I? He raised me, for heaven's sake. And now I'm coming to preach to him about salvation. What are you talking about? It will not work. Matthew 9:38. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." So I began to pray that prayer. That God, send somebody to speak to my father. Send somebody. So I stopped talking about salvation and things in the house. And my father likes to read. So I would just leave books around. So I'll leave books around, you know. Books by Derek Prince, you know, that was the person, the harvester that God had sent. So I left those books around. And then sometimes he used to travel a lot. When he traveled, I said, "Daddy, can you please buy me books by Derek Prince?" Now, my father was a sailor, so he could be on the sea for 9 months, 12 months at a time. So the books that he bought for me, if he had nothing to do, he'll read it. So one day he brought me the books. And I read the book. And then, you know, usually at the back of the books, some of the books, there's a place where if you have given your life to Jesus, a decision page, you write, when you, lo and behold, one of the books, my father had written his decision for Jesus Christ. Lo and behold, somebody had to be sent. Why am I saying this? Because you may think, oh, I'm 65. I can't do any evangelism. You may be the harvester that can save another 65-year-old or another 70-year-old. I'm done with all these childish things, walking the streets with placards and evangelize. I'm too old for that. You are not too old. You may be able to start a fellowship and somebody who is just about to enter his grave will get saved. Just about to enter his grave. So we are all supposed to go, unless you are in that box. But until you get in the box, until you get into the box, my brother, my sister, you can go and tell them. Hallelujah. So that's our job. Amen. And we must tell them. We must tell them. You must, now in the book, tell them, Bishop has given us 120 reasons why we must be soul winners. 120. As if we need 120. All we need is one. Jesus said, go. That's all we need. But in case that's not enough for you, there are 120 other reasons that we can find in that book to tell us to go and tell them. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. We are so absorbed with our own lives and our own problems. People are dying right next to us and going to hell. God forgive us our sins. Hallelujah. I hope you are writing these points down. You must be, so I'm reading reason number 108. You can go and read the other reasons in the book. Reason number 108 says, you must be a soul winner because God has sent us to invite people to the feast of the Lord. You know what a feast is? It's not just any party. It's a party with a lot of food. I've been to parties where they run out of drinks at a point, they run out of food at a point. But a feast, it's like the food doesn't end. You may have to take some home with you. That's a feast. And that's the kind of party I want to be at. A selection of, I mean, what do you eat? You are a pescatarian, there's a table for you. You are a vegetarian, there's a table for you. You are vegan, there's a table for you. You are an omnivore. You eat everything. There's a table for you. You know, I've been to a restaurant. It was called Zebra's Rodizio in New Jersey. Zebra. It was a South American restaurant. I'm telling you, in that restaurant, it was a grill, all right? They had meat, any type of meat, alligator meat, you will get some. Any type of meat you want, you will get some. I'm not sure about snake meat. I tried alligator. I'm not sure if I like it. Amen. So this feast has everything. Everything you need. Everything you need. We have answers for every problem at the feast of the Lord. What is your problem? There is something at the feast to deal with the problem. You need a child? Come to the table. You need a husband? Come to the table. You need peace in your life? Come to the table. You are feeling rejected? Come to the table. What is it that you need? Some of the needs are not tangible. They are emotional needs. Come to the table. There are people walking around. When we look at them, we form an impression about them. Oh, he's just a junkie. He's just a drunkard. He's just a down and out person. You don't know that people like that need something from the table of the Lord. And you can write them off. Even when we are going for evangelism, you look at the nice people, nicely dressed people, look a bit serious about life. Those are the ones we head for. Is that not so? Is that not so? But we don't look for the smelly ones, the, you know, the people who look like they haven't washed down for some time. We don't even want to come near to them. But these are the people who need Jesus. Amen. The feast is ready. The feast has been ready. And yet, we won't invite people. Let's read the story from Luke chapter 14. There's a story in Luke chapter 14. No, let's go to verse 23. Maybe go up a bit. 22, 19. Further up. I want the beginning of the story. No, still. I think it's 12, maybe. Yes. No, next one. Next one. Oh, are you looking at the right? Okay, verse 15 then. 15. Hallelujah. All right, let's read. And one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. And he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that is true. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. If you are saved, you'll be eating bread in the kingdom of God. Amen. Next verse. And then he said unto him, Jesus responded. So this man brought himself. Do you understand? Do you understand when I say you brought yourself? Yes. So I'm saying he brought himself. So he's sitting at Jesus. They're having a feast. They're eating. And Jesus was talking about, you know, when you make a feast, don't invite the rich people. Invite the poor, the maimed, and so on. And the guy said, oh, he's trying to be spiritual. Blessed are those who eat the bread in the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, good, I have a good point to start my message. So he said unto him, because the goal is now to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Do you understand? That's the point from which Jesus responded. So you can infer from that the story that we're about to hear is relating, or it's a type of the kingdom of God. Do you understand? So let's talk about. So a certain man made a great supper and bade many. All right, next verse. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are ready. All things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. I'll talk about that in a minute. Next one. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Next one. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Seriously? And that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry. Said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Next one. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Wow. Amen. Okay, back to 23. That's our key verse, and we'll talk about. He said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. God does not want an empty party. Okay? He's prepared everything. From the beginning of the passage, he said, all things are now ready. How would you feel if you cook a big meal and nobody wants to eat it? Nobody wants to come near. Even in my house, sometimes I get upset. So I've slaved away at the stove when I wanted to be doing something else. And then when I say, come and eat, oh, I'll eat later. Oh, I'm like, then I won't bother to cook again. Somebody says I should call him. You know, I've spent so much time cooking and setting a table, and then finally it's like I have a meeting. Oh, I have a Zoom meeting. You will eat, or I'll eat later. And the food is going to go cold. You know, and it's really upsetting. And mine is not even a feast. It's just maybe a bowl of stew and something. So can you imagine the great expense that God has gone to? This story is a copy of Jesus and the great expense that God has gone to allow us to enter into his blessings as his children. The great expense he has gone to prepare a feast of salvation, healing, deliverance, name it. And we won't come. We won't come. We won't come. You've got a good excuse. First of all, what time is supper time? Please, somebody tell me what time is supper time, approximately. 5 or 6, or even 7. Okay, 5 or 6, or even 7 o'clock. You said what? I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Do you take your oxen out at 5 o'clock in the evening to test them out? What kind of lame-o excuse is that? 5 yoke of oxen. Oxen was the business, like the computer of the time. That's how they worked. So you say, I've got a job. I have a business. Are you serious? Do you see why when the servant came and told the master was angry? Do you see why he was angry? The Bible says, the master being angry. How dare you tell me that I have a business, so I can't come to Jesus. I'm a rich man. I'm busy. I can't come to Jesus. What? And then the next excuse was what? No, there was one before that. I've bought land. I have bought land. I'm going to look at it. Who goes to look at his property at night? You call your realtor at 7 o'clock and say, let's go and tour the property. Who does that? Who does that? And didn't you tour it before you bought the property? Why are you now going to tour it? You should have toured it then, done the inspection, and before you put your money on it. You've bought it. What are you going to tour the property for? What is that? You see how, I don't want to use a certain word. It's just lame, okay? I don't want to. It's just epically lame. What kind of excuse is that? I bought land. I'm going to look at it. I can't come for dinner. Are you serious? You bought it already. It's not like I'm going to look at it. And besides, are you going to look at it at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock? Jesus said it was a supper, not lunch or breakfast. And it won't change anything by tomorrow. So that is a lame excuse. People will tell you, you know, I'm a very rich person. I don't have time for the gospel. I have things to do. I'm a very prosperous person. These are real things. These are real things. The people who don't listen to the gospel when we go preaching are the nice people, aren't they? Yeah. They don't listen to you. They are the nice people. They've got their cars. They're settled in life. We don't need God. We're good. I just need to show up once in a while, Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas. That's about it. That's about it for God in my life. I don't need God. I've got this. The people who respond to God are those who are sick, those who are in their hospital bed with death and life. The meter is going like this. It's going like this. It could be death. It could be. When you tell those people about Jesus, they say, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Is it not true? Yes. But the people who are healthy, they got their cars, they got their houses, their marriages are working. Who is Jesus? We'll see him at Christmas time. And well, you know, maybe we'll see him at Christmas time because Santa is also there. And Santa kind of plays a bigger role. So, yeah. Who is Jesus? It's the people who have nothing. And the people who are down and out, they are the one who, when you talk to them about Jesus, look, if you want to get 100% results in evangelism, go to the hospital. Go to the ward where people are dying. Oh, everybody wants to know Jesus. I don't care what religion they belong to. If you die now, will you go to heaven? I don't know. Do you want to be sure? Yes. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Yes. But the people who are well and walking around and have businesses and houses, who's Jesus? Is it true or is it not true? Yeah. And then the other one said what? I have married a wife. I think this is the most stupid excuse I have ever heard in my whole life. You've made me use the word. It is stupid. What do you mean you've married a wife? Honeymoon. Honeymoon, will you even get, you know, because you see, when you have married a wife, you have to, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 24, that you have to make her happy for a year. So technically, listen up, guys, technically, the honeymoon is supposed to be for one full year. Yes, 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 yes. That's it. No, not this one. I think it's verse 15. One full year you have to make, find it for me, it's not this one, but one full year you have to make your wife happy. How much money do you have and how much time do you have? You've been to all the restaurants in Memphis, you've been to, what do you call it, J. Alexander's, you've been to Capital Grill, you've been to, please give me the high class restaurant. You've been to Ruth Chris. You've been to where? Bahama Breeze. You've been to, what's the other one? Red Lobster. You've taken your wife everywhere. Now you are out of ideas. You are trying to make her happy. Oh, this weekend, let's go to this place. This weekend, then somebody comes and says, hey guys, I've got a feast. Come and bring everybody. You won't take your wife to that feast. Are you insane? This is no expense to you. It is, you don't, you it's not a limited menu. Bring and you say, I have a wife. Ha! Oh, no. What could you be doing with that wife? Whatever you are doing, it can be over in 15 minutes and you can go for the supper. 15 minutes is even too long. 5 minutes. 5 minutes is enough. Let the hearer understand. Those who don't know, they don't know. Yes. 5 minutes is a lot. It's a lot. 5 minutes. It can be over. And you can go for the dinner. So all you have to say is that, hey, I'll be about 15 minutes late, but I'll be there. Don't talk nonsense. After that 5 minutes, you have to wait for another hour before you can do again. So what is your problem? What is your problem? Oh no, this excuse is the most lame excuse, I'm telling you. It's the most lame excuse. But this is what happens. People say, I've got a family, so I don't want to come to church. I don't want to, my children don't like this kind of church. Really? Really? Who is the parent? Are you the parent or is the child the parent? Does your child tell you, I don't like the school, and then you go and move them out? You send them to school anyway. And then when it comes to their spiritual life, it's like they tell you which church to go to. I don't like this church because the pastor rebukes us. Really? You wait till you do that. When they grow up and they they rise up and sit on your shoulders, don't be calling the pastor at that time. So these are lame excuses. That's why the master was angry. What kind of excuse is that? You know, we read the story and we kind of say, okay. But think about it a little bit. Meditate on it a little bit. They are so foolish excuses. Very foolish excuses. I have paid. I have bought wine, food, different varieties. I've had a feast. I'm saying, come, come and eat. And you said, what? That's why the master was angry. And that's why God is angry. Now, I want to inform you, though, that we are the servants in this story. We are the ones supposed to go bring them. And we have had the experiences that we are speaking about. You talk to people about God, they don't want to know. They are okay. The same people, if they are in trouble, they will come. I know a certain couple, their relationship was in trouble, and that's what brought them to church. And through that, they got saved. Do you understand? I know people on the verge of divorce, through marriage counseling, they got saved. Maybe they would not have come otherwise. That's why sometimes God allows you to go through some things so that you would just wake up and know he's real, you know? Because would you be saved otherwise, Brother Michael? No. Brother Michael should tell you his testimony. But when something happened to him, oh, when God says, he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Of course, sir. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But we are the servants. And I'm coming to the point of verse 23, please. Verse 23. I have so little time, but I'm going to try to fix it then. The master said, so anyway, those who were invited didn't come. So he said, go to the highways and call people. And they did. But at that time of the day, most people were at home. So how many people will you meet on the streets? Most of the people would have gone home. So just they brought people, and then the master said, that the servant said, there's still room in the house, and there is still room at the cross. There's still room. Millions have come to Jesus, but there's still room for one more soul. One more soul. There's still room. This church is not full. Don't be deceived. Don't feel happy. Our church has grown. Our church has not grown much. Don't start feeling complacent. How big is your center? Can you even get 10 people to attend regularly? You say your church has grown. Don't bring yourself. Just because you see big numbers, the standard for church growth, brothers and sisters, find it in the first church. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached. How many people gave their lives to Christ? 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. The first church service. The first church service was 3,000 people. So what is that 150 that we are strutting and, you know, puffing ourselves up? We ain't got nothing. Nothing. 3,000. And then the next time he preached, 4,000. Do you understand? So when you look at these are our small centers and basenters, don't start patting yourself on the back. It's too early. When we get to 3,000 membership, and every time we do outreach, people are added to the 3, then we can talk. Until then, please, our church hasn't grown, please. So shake off the pride and let's get down to the job. There are still souls in Memphis. Say hallelujah, somebody. So the Lord said unto the servant, go out. So after they had brought in the highways and hedges, they came. From the street. Then he said, there's still room. Then he said, go to the highways and hedges. Who's in the highways and hedges around 7 or 8 or 9? Who are the people there? People who are homeless. People who are mentally ill. Thank you. People who are drug addicts. Yeah. People who've been thrown out of their homes, prostitutes. Those are the people you will find on the streets at that time of the day. Those are the people you will find in the streets at that time of the day. If a prostitute walked in here, we'll all be like, who is she? We will all have an attitude. Somebody went to church. A homeless guy hadn't taken a shower for days, obviously, smelling. And he entered a respectable church with a steeple and a cross, with a pastor in a gown and a choir, beautifully arrayed. And then He entered the church. The usher said, sit over here. Right. He sat down. Then after a while, they said, you're smelling too bad. Can you please step out of the church? But this guy was at the point where if you had told him, give your life to Jesus now, he wouldn't argue with you. He had reached rock bottom in his life. He just needed somebody to tell him about Jesus. They sacked him because he was smelling. He was spoiling the beauty of their lovely white sanctuary. So they sent him out. So he sat on the steps outside the church crying. He was crying. And as he was crying, somebody patted him on the shoulder. And when he looked up, it was Jesus. And he said, what's the matter? He said, I went to church and they threw me out. And Jesus said, don't worry, they threw me out too. Yeah, we are having church in Jesus' name, but he's not welcome here. God forbid. Jesus, you are welcome here, please. With angels and the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus is welcome here, I hope it means that his words are welcome here. And if his words are welcome here, I hope it means we will obey his words. And his words say, go, go, don't stay, tell them. We can't even move from our house to when we announce an outreach, just a select few come, select few, this church. All of you have something. The young people can talk to young people. The older people can talk to older people. You know, everybody, all of us have something to give. That's like outreach. Oh, no, won't come. Prayer meeting. Oh, no, won't come. Church service. Yes. Convention. Yes. Yes. That's when pastor is going to lay hands and people are going to fall down on the floor. I like that one. Is it true? But come for prayer meeting. Floor prayer meeting. No. No. Jesus, forgive us our sins. Forgive us and help us. So he said, go and compel them. You know that word compel? Have you ever heard the word anakazo? Our church is famous because we have a Bible school called anakazo. Do you know what it means? I'm going to show you what it means. You know, the Bible was originally written in ancient languages. The Old Testament was written mostly in Hebrew, a few portions in Aramaic. And the New Testament was written in Greek. Greek was the lingua franca. So if you're an educated person, you can speak Greek. Like in most countries today, if you're an uneducated person, you can speak English. Not so? Yes. So when we go to the Greek, which is the original language of the New Testament, do you know what anakazo means? Anakazo means to compel. You know what it means to compel somebody? There's a song that says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity. You know what it means to snatch somebody? Brother Michael, come and let me snatch you. Okay, you are too big. I need a smaller person. I can't snatch you. Leanna, where are you? Leanna, I need a small person to snatch. Okay, so please, if you fall down, don't sue me, okay? Okay, so Leanna is going. Okay, no, come, start from here, all right? And now start walking this way. Now, stop, wait. This is the wrong direction. This is the right direction. Leanna is going in the wrong direction. Okay, come. Did I rip your dress? I'm sorry. You see what it took to snatch her? You may tear her clothes in the process. You may offend her in the process. But she's going in the wrong direction and she's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to hell. And I'd rather offend her than let her go to hell. Some of us are too nice. We are too nice. People are dying and we are like, what? I don't care if I offend you. You can call me a hater. You can call me, what do they call them? Homophobic. I have to tell you the truth. You are on the wrong road. You are on the wrong road. You're going to die. Oh, we don't want to offend them. We just give them presents. We just give them gifts and hope that the gifts will minister the love of God to them. What? You've got to compel them. I'm not done. Compel is just the first word. Necessitate. You know what it means to necessitate? You make the person see their need for what you are saying. See, if people don't understand that they need something, they will not go for it. That's why adverts work. They make you feel that you must have kaboom in your bathroom. They make you feel, by the time you are done, by the time the advert is done, the other day I was watching an advert about Lindt chocolate. I stood up and went to take chocolate from my fridge. I'm telling you, I'm confessing. By the time they finish pouring the chocolate, I'm like, do I have chocolate in this house? And I went to the fridge and I got myself a little cube of chocolate. They make you feel like you need to have chocolate. You need to have Arby's. You need to, that's what adverts do. I don't know anything about kaboom, but just from what I've seen, sometimes when I go, I'm saying, this is the one they talked about. Maybe it does work. Let me buy some. Isn't it true? Make it necessary. Necessitate. Drive. You know how you drive? I'm not talking about sitting in the driver's. When you are driving something, you push. You push it. You don't just walk ahead and say, come along. No. You are driving the person. You are using force. Constrain. Persuade. By all possible means, such as force. This is not my English. This is from the Greek. The word compel, which the English has given it a short word. It means something else in the Greek. To compel, necessitate, drive, constrain, persuade with all possible means, such as force, threats. Sometimes when you tell people they'll go to hell, they say, you are just scaring them. Look, you're judging them. Okay, it's okay. If that's what will get you to hear the gospel, I'd rather be called a judge than to be called irresponsible. Entreaty. Sometimes you beg people. You beg people to come to church. You call them until they think you want something. one day somebody, pastor was calling that person, calling. So, you know, pastor was new to America. He didn't know that, you know, when you keep calling a girl, it means something. So he's met somebody, he's witnessed to the person, says, come to church. He kept calling. She asked him, hey, man, do you want some, something? He's like, no, I just want you to come to church. Do you want something? You know? You beg people to come to church and they tell you, you know, I'll just come. Okay, I'll come. I see you need me in the church. For you, I'll come. Never mind. If you come for me and you hear the gospel, that's enough. Persuasion. You must persuade people. Guys know how to persuade girls. Do you know how they do it? They keep coming. They keep on coming. Yeah, they keep coming and they keep telling you how nice you are and whatever. They keep coming. Sometimes all they have to do is show up. They come and they come again and they come again. The first time they came, you just, the next time you're like, maybe I should be polite. Then after a few more times, you're like, he's not bad. And a few more times like, oh, I'm in love with him. It's just because he kept coming, that's all. If I keep coming to your house, you might fall in love with me. It's as simple as that. They know how to persuade. I know a guy who he has different methods of persuasion. When he was an unbeliever, I mean, to persuade a girl, he told me some of the tricks he used to use. He said he would cry. And he said, even when there were no tears, you know, maybe he'd be talking to this girl and then he would get fake glasses. Because something about wearing glasses earns you some sympathy. I don't know about it, but I know glasses work on me. But wearing glasses kind of earns you some sympathy. So he would wear glasses, you know, and be talking to the girl. Then he would say, you know, I really like you. Then he push his glasses up the bridge of his nose. And then after a while, if it doesn't seem to work, he would take the glasses off. Then he would stare into the distance. Now, these are his own words. He said he would stare into the distance and not blink. Now, if you do that, you will start tearing up. So he would just be like, he's talking to you, and of those. Then the wind and the sand will cause him to tear up. So by the time he turns back to you, there are tears in his eyes. Hey, guy! And he got them every time. He got them every time. Listen, if you have to use that trick to get somebody to come to Jesus, do it, man. I'd rather cry. Look, I don't want you to die and go to hell. Do you know there's a hell? Do you know there's a hell? You'd be like, this girl is really passionate about Jesus. I better come check it out. You know, use the trick. Look into the distance. Let some tears come and then you turn around and say, you know, I'm just telling you this because I know you could die and go to hell, you know? By the time you are done, somebody is saved. Look, any means possible. The people are going to hell. Come on. You know, I've only preached one point, but I have to stop. Amen. I just want to end because the message... Oh, if you don't want me to end, I can continue. I have 5 more minutes. Okay. All right. So the only thing I want to say about anakazo is that if you're going to necessitate and you're going to force and you're going to compel people, you need to have some power, okay? You need to have some strength, okay? I can pick up this chair with one hand, but I've got to have some power to do that, okay? Because there are people in the hospital today who cannot lift their hand up. They cannot grip a bottle. Do you understand? And in medicine, when you have a stroke, we try to determine how bad it is. So we try to determine your muscle power, and we have grades for your muscle power, okay? So can you grip something? Can you lift your hand above your shoulder? All those are a sign of power. So for me to be able to lift a chair with one arm, I know I don't look like I have biceps, but I have something. Amen. I know I don't look like I have some, but there's something working. There's some power. So for you to be able to bring somebody, necessitate, compel, persuade, you need power. Where is that power going to come from? Prayer. Prayer. Because some people come and witness and people get saved in an instant. You can talk till you are blue in the face. They don't even notice you. Something is missing. Something is missing. There's power missing. You need power to compel. So by this, I'm saying that prayer. Flow prayer should not be your only prayer, but you should attend flow prayer. But you should have a prayer life. You should have a prayer life. And from now on, our evangelism is not going to be that we gather together and do a small 5-minute prayer. Father, we pray that you help us as we are going. No. We are going to pillage hell with our prayer before we set out on the. By the time we get out there, people will be asking us, what is it about you? You can't be standing there. Okay, we are coming to have an outreach. Okay, let's all gather together and pray a 5-minute. Father, as we go, we pray that they will help us. They will hear us. What? Do you know the power that is holding people away from Jesus? We are not going to break that power with 2-minute prayers. We break that power with hours, hours of prayer, breaking the forces of evil over people's lives. So no more outreach with 5-minute prayer. before an outreach, we are going to have serious prayer. Because the devil is just smiling. Oh, outreach. Let them go. It's not a problem. Nothing will happen to us. Nothing will happen. They should go. They should go. They should fulfill all righteousness. They should feel good about themselves. In our church, we have outreach once a month. But they are not doing anything. No more. We are going to bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to add at this point that not just Memphis, but the world. Amen. Many of us who are here, who were not born here, came to this country or to this city for some advantage. Some advantage. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's something. Now, I want to give you another advantage to move to another city. The advantage of getting a crown in heaven. Asia is open to us. That's where the souls are. Do you know that if there were 100 people in the world, only 5 would come from America? If the whole world were 100 people, 5 would come from America and 60 would come from Asia. 60 will come from Asia. So yeah, we can do our evangelism and we should, but we are only reaching 5%. What about the 60%? What about the 60%? Does McDonald's tell you, well, you know, we have a McDonald's store on summer, so we don't need to have one about half a mile away. No, you can find McDonald's dotting the street every half mile. So why can't we have churches dotting the street every half mile? We can't have too many churches. We can do our part. Other churches should do their part. There can never be too many churches limited. Amen. There's a store in Singapore called it can never have too many shoes limited. I think it is a store I would really like. But there is another store called There Can Never Be Too Many Churches Limited. Amen. So I'm saying that we should do it. We should start from here. But I want you to think about somewhere else that you could be. Because that's what America was known for. Missionaries. Missionaries. If missionaries didn't come to my home country, I may not be a Christian. I would still be dancing around the fire with a little whisk in my hand. Look at me preaching today because somebody came a long time ago. Many of them died within 3-6 weeks of arriving. And then they would send more until somebody lived and continued the work. And I'm here today. So we too. Can somebody say, because you came, those days they had ships, no electricity. So the ship is coming and all they see is blackness and darkness. These days we have planes. When you are landing, you can see some lights, you know? It's easier to go. It's easier to go. Why are we stuck here? We need to go. Amen. We need to compel them. Rise to your feet. I want us to pray a prayer of forgiveness. We are all guilty. We are too comfortable in our Christian lives. People are dying and going to hell. When you hear somebody has died, you need to ask yourself, did this person know Jesus? We all assume everybody who dies goes to heaven. It's not true. Not true. You hear people saying, oh, my mother is over in heaven looking down. And are you sure? Are you sure she's looking down or she's looking up? You know? So let's pray for forgiveness. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. While we have life and breath, Lord, fill us with the desire and the power to preach the gospel to everyone, to be prepared to go wherever you send us to go, to tell the word that Jesus died for them. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you are here and you are not born again, this message is for you. Jesus is inviting you to the feast. Your life can change forever if you give your life to Jesus. So if you want to say, Lady Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus, lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you. You want to say, I want to know Jesus for myself. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. You want to give your life to Jesus? Anybody else? Now, if your hand is up, I want you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you and pray with you. Come forward. Come forward. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God. Welcome to Jesus. Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you to say these words after me. And the rest of us, please help to say these words and mean it from your heart. Amen. It's your prayer. I'm just saying it and you repeat it after me. Okay. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me.
Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me.
Today I repent.
Today I repent.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
Please wash me.
Please
in
wash
the precious
me.
Blood of Jesus.
In the precious blood
come
of Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart, Lord
and
Jesus.
Make me your own.
And make me your own.
Please write my name.
Please write my
in
name.
In the book of life.
In the book of
from
life.
Today,
from
I
today.
I belong to you.
I belong
I
to
no you. Longer belong to Satan.
I no longer
I'm
belong
your child.
To I'm your child.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
for saving
Jesus,
me.
For saving
Amen.
Me. Amen.
Welcome to God's family. Amen. Please come go back to your seat. Hallelujah.
Wow. Weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on Zoom at meeting ID 934-809-4313 or in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.